Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe. This is Gresh and Keefe.
Pitcher to the dribble out, so the number will stay at 9. That's the margin of victory for Boston.
Andy Gresh.
Our depth guys, no matter who's out, our guys are always ready to play and they always step up. You know, that's a compliment to them for our depth and compliment to guys making the right play.
Rich Keefe.
Third and four, he'll look to throw. End zone, Moore! Touchdown, Jets!
Gresh and Keefe right now.
Football is loose. Miami with the recovery. Howard in for the touchdown.
On WEEI.
Well, talk about a day where nothing turned up Patriots.
No.
Of all the games in the AFC, of all of the possibilities, all the things that could have happened, nothing went the Patriots' way elsewhere in the NFL.
No, it didn't. Even going back to Thursday, it didn't. The Lions had a chance to beat the Bills.
That is true.
They should have beat the Bills, and even they couldn't pull that one off. So, no, this week 12, not ideal for the New England Patriots.
Not at all, because among the winners yesterday were, I don't think you have to worry about the Browns, but I'll mention it because they found a way to beat Tom Brady in unbelievable fashion.
Yeah, it was.
The first time in like 218 games that Tom Brady found himself on the losing end of a 7-point lead with 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Pretty crazy. Who he lost it to is just as juicy.
And what a catch by David Njoku, but the Dolphins handled the Texans as we expected. The Jets beat the Bears. The Chargers found a way to beat the Cardinals, but boy, oh boy, did they make it tough on themselves. The Bengals ended up beating the Titans, and the Ravens losing really does nothing for New England whole.
No, that one really doesn't matter all that much, although depending on what happens with Baltimore and Cincinnati, one's going to win the division, the other's going to be fighting for a wild card spot. I think they both ultimately get in. I think the one that killed them the most is the Chargers, because the Chargers had that game lost. Like, they were going to lose to Arizona. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at all these wild card teams and what their schedules are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati's is pretty tough. Chargers, not that tough. And we kind of chalked up, oh, yeah, Arizona would be a win. Well, as that game was playing out and late into the fourth quarter, you're like, oh, my God, they're going to lose to Arizona? And so the Patriots have a better record than the Chargers, because I really think that is the major threat. I feel like it's Chargers or Patriots, probably.
And you don't play the Chargers head-to-head, whereas you go head-to-head against Cincy later in the year.
And there was a real chance for them to be below 500 with the loss yesterday to Arizona. They pull that thing out of their hat, and now they're 6-5. They got some easy games in front of them. And if you still have hope and still have faith that the Patriots could somehow get into the playoffs, I think you really needed the Chargers to lose yesterday.
It would have helped. There is no question about it. So as it stands right now in the AFC, Miami is the 2 seed. Tennessee is the 3. Baltimore is the 4. Buffalo, even though they have the same record as Miami and better records than Tennessee and Baltimore, Buffalo is the 5 seed as we sit here this morning. Cincinnati is the 6. And the Jets are the 7, and they're one of the bigger stories coming out of week 12.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mike White looked like pick your quarterback.
And
I couldn't think of it looked like Danny White out there. There you go. Google it, kids, for you if you don't know.
Or Jason White at Oklahoma.
Oh, there you go.
It's a good cut there.
I like
but
that.
But the New York Jets, I still don't think are going to be in the playoffs. I don't. Like, they're 7-4. Right now, they're clinging to that last spot. And they go to Mike White against the Bears, which to me just further explained how much they hate Zach Wilson. That would have been the get right. All right, it's not the Patriots. You don't have to face Belichick anymore. It's right. The only team that's beaten him, by the way. It had so much more to do with how the other players on the team feel about him than it was how bad he is on the field, which is not very good,
right.
as we've seen firsthand. But if Mike White, who started the year as their third-string quarterback, he had that little blip last year, but then he also went back to being Mike White and a third-string quarterback by the end of that little run. But that was the game to do it. You were going to beat the Bears, right? The defense, and they held him to 10 points. There's no Justin Fields, by the way.
Right, that helps.
In the pregame, the quarterback gets hurt on the other side. So Trevor Siemian hurts himself in pregame, to which they say, all right, he's now not starting, and it's going to be Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman, who once threw 5 picks in a game when he played for the Bills, 4 of them in 1 half, I believe. And then we're getting closer and closer. We're doing the Football Sunday show yesterday, and they're like, all right, it's going to be Peterman. And then they're like, well, Trevor Siemian's going to serve as the backup. And then, like, 20 minutes before game time, they're like, well, actually, now it might go back to Siemian. I'm like, what, do you get hurt and then unhurt during the warm-up?
We had the game on WEEI, and I'm riding home, and I hear Brian Baldinger be like, well, they did the, like, quarterback dipsy-do on us and, like, went in and out and in and out. And then,
oh, so they scored 10 points kind of early, then they were done from
there. They should have played Peterman.
And they probably, what's the difference? And so Mike White has a really successful game. The Jets are all feeling great about themselves, and you're just further pushing Zach Wilson away from the team. He wasn't even dressed for the game, and they went, and all this stuff about, hey, we're gonna get him right, and he's going to help us again. It's like, no, he's not. No, he's not.
As what? Slash.
Maybe when you're eliminated from the playoffs, maybe he'll come back
in. There you go.
But as long as they're still in it, and they're going to be in it, even if they lose the next 2 weeks, they're 7-6, they're still in it. I don't think he gets his job back at all this year, unless the last 2 games of the season don't mean anything, and then you might as well play your number 2 pick.
I would agree with you at that point, unless they're like, well, hey, listen, Mike White's going to be our guy, and then it is the, we're just going to ride it to the end. Honestly,
of Mike White,
it's a coin flip right now. If they are at least competitive, because as you mentioned, their schedule isn't easy down the stretch for the Jets.
No, they got back-to-back tough ones coming up.
Yeah, they got at Minnesota, at Buffalo, and then they get the Lions and Jaguars, and then the last 2 weeks at Seattle, and then at Miami. But if Mike White's going to be your guy, and if you're Robert Saleh and you're all in on that dude,
so
you're just going to keep playing him.
So last year, Mike White came onto the scene as a backup and when they lost to the Patriots. There was that blowout game against the Patriots last year, and he came into it. The following week, he threw for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, and they beat Cincinnati. Then the next week, he only threw the ball 11 times, and they lost to Indianapolis. And then against Buffalo, he threw 4 picks. No touchdowns, 4 picks, didn't play again the rest of the year. So I just feel like Mike White is, I don't know, is he going to be like this? Is he like the Bailey Zappi where he kind of comes in? He's like, hey, you're not Zach Wilson, so we're excited about that. We're playing the Bears, who are terrible. And they kind of, Robert Saleh even had a comment in the post game about how, like, you know, he took what was there, made the easy plays, that kind of thing.
He made it look easy, I think was the exact quote.
You're like, all right.
So that's a real jab at Zach Wilson.
Well, all of it is. Like, everything about, like, the way they're celebrating after the game, to me, it was all about Zach Wilson. So I think this is a short shelf life, but there was an opportunity. If you really wanted to save Zach Wilson, if that was your true goal, he would have played yesterday against the Bears. When you don't even have Justin Fields on the other side, so it's not like you would have, you didn't need 31 points. You needed 11, and you would have got the win, and then you could have just said, all right, guys, look at, Wilson would have been what, 6-2 or something insane as
Correct.
A starter?
Yeah.
Like, you could at least try to sell that. But not if the guy's a complete dink and the teammates don't respect him.
Robert Saleh arguably saved his job yesterday because it was getting to the point to where it could have gone real sideways on him real quick. And you and I talked about it on WEEI Football Sunday yesterday. If you're the Jets, you have to do everything you can to go for it. You're in a spot you didn't expect to be in, which is in the playoff hunt. So whether it's, you know, Zach Wilson, Carney Wilson, Mike White, you know, Russell, whomever, Wilson? Russell.
Maybe not him.
Please.
Maybe not
that
him.
That is. How about that, by the way? Russell
boy.
Wilson. So it took, what, 2 weeks for a young receiver to take off their helmet in the end zone and spike it on the ground because Russell Wilson missed him in the end zone?
Wasn't that Hamler? Like, it wasn't even one of their good receivers. I don't think it was Sutton.
I think so. I think it might have been a rookie, if I'm not mistaken. Like, showed up by a rookie.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, a defensive lineman, Purcell, who ends up committing a penalty on his own, coming off the field. He just committed a penalty. and he walked right over to Russell Wilson and was just like, F you, you suck.
So you know that the great video that's going around of Russell Wilson? This is like few games into the season, so they were already horrible, and he's just doing the thing with his arms out at the 50-yard line. He's just like
and
taking
rocking back and forth, taking in the sun.
So after a sack yesterday, you see Brian Burns. He did the same thing, just mocking the hell out of Russell Wilson.
No one respects him.
He's become the biggest joke in the NFL.
He's a punchline now. Insane.
Is there a close second joke? Is there a guy in the league that everybody's laughing at more than Russell Wilson?
Oh, boy, that's a great one.
Because, like, Aaron Rodgers not having a great year, but nobody's laughing at him. Matt Stafford, he's hurt, and like they're, you know, like I don't think anybody. There are guys having bad seasons, but I don't think anybody is getting just trolled
like a laughing stock. Like people just think he's a joke.
It's like sort of. It's funny because people are making the comparison earlier in the year, like the famous Russell in the NBA, Russell Westbrook. He seems to get a lot of that, right?
There is.
Like he, like, but then there's also Ben Simmons. Like there's a lot of guys in the NBA that kind of get clowned on. In the NFL, like, I don't know, unless I'm forgetting somebody, it's Russell Wilson. You got teammates showing him up. Every guy on the other team, like, is laughing
just
at
laughing
him.
Yeah,
it's bad.
And meanwhile, Buddy Hackett hears everything going on with Purcell and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And just stands there and looks straight ahead. He had nothing to say.
He doesn't know what to do about that or say.
I'm surprised that guy's still employed. We're at the point to where it's like, you went on the road and lost to Carolina.
Yeah,
Carolina's head coach at start of the year is now the head coach of Nebraska. And the guy who's running that team now got fired after 1 year in Arizona. And you went all the way across the country. And you just didn't get beat by them. You got whooped by them.
I think it all comes down to what your owner's philosophy is. Some owners, I feel like, won't fire a guy in their first year no matter what. I don't think that's the right approach. I think once you hire the wrong guy, get out as soon as you can.
Pull the ripcord.
Like what? When they're sitting there, like the GM, owner, presidents, all those guys in the top front office are sitting there saying, "Is Nathaniel Hackett going to turn this franchise around?" Like, there you go. If the answer is laughter, you have to get rid of him.
And then they're like, "Well, it's going to cost us $30 million to get rid of the guy." They'll be like, "Okay."
Easier to get rid of him than Russell Wilson.
Raise the price on lawnmowers and Walmarts all across the country. We'll raise that money in about 5 minutes.
I know.
It was pretty insane in the NFL yesterday. And, of course, it feels like we sit here each and every week and we say the AFC is still bunched up and this week is no different.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game, too, I would say, was a big swing. Big swing game.
And you see the end of that one?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They force Cincinnati into a field goal and two of their defensive linemen on the field goal decide to run over the snapper, which you can't do anymore. Tennessee had used their timeouts to be able to get the ball back with around 140 to go, and instead it's three Joe Burrow knees because of a stupid penalty, and the look on Mike Vrabel's face was priceless.
It was amazing. And like Tennessee, they don't really need the wins because that division's so bad, where Cincinnati desperately does. They now even have a chance to win their division and if not take one of those three wild cards.
Well, and they should thank Jacksonville, because Jacksonville, they went for it on two. They went for the 2-point conversion.
It was the right call, and I was watching that live too, so it's not, you know, in hindsight, like just when your team has a losing record and there's also you're going up against an explosive quarterback and a great kicker on the other side, there's no reason to play for overtime. So they did the right thing.
Yeah, and if you're Jacksonville, you're trying to teach those guys how to win.
Yeah.
And the only way they're going to learn to do it is to be in those kinds of moments and either pass or fail. Absolutely.
So even if you lose, like, great, another loss, whatever. At least we went swinging, and I think all the players respect the coach more for going for it.
There is no question. You see the coach, you see them rally not only around the coach on the field, but also in the locker room. Doug Peterson's head. Cripes almighty.
Yeah, he needs one of those Brian Robinson hats.
It's a cinder block. Oh, yeah,
did
we'll get to
it. Did you see the Brian Robinson hat?
I saw your tweet as well. And, yes, the
it looks fake.
The Washington Commanders, apparently there's a player on the Commanders whose friend makes...
Yeah, Brian Robinson, the guy who got shot, the running back.
Oh, and he got, the game ball, I think, right?
I think
or something
so.
Like I think that
had,
or whatever.
He had a really good game.
And
he had over 100 yards. And, like, it looks fake. Like, if you go on Twitter or wherever, it seems like somebody photoshopped it. It is the biggest hat you've ever seen in your life. It's enormous.
It is.
And he's like, yeah, my friend has big hats.
Is it akin to the Peter Griffin giant foam cowboy hat that they had to have an intervention for and tell him to get rid of it?
It's Turd Ferguson from Celebrity Jeopardy. Yeah, it's a big hat. It's funny. It's like, no, it's not. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I honestly must have spent a good 30 minutes of my day looking at that.
Why? Why did it capture you so much?
I was just so blown away that it's even a thing. And that he was also
Is it because you really want one?
I kind of do. And then he's also he's trying to like sell it to the media guys there. He's like, anybody wants a big hat, like, you know where to find me. I'm like, what?
What's cornier, the big hat or a turnover chain?
No, the turnover chain, when Miami did it originally, I thought that was cool. And now everybody's kind of bastardized it, and there's a million different versions of it.
And it's not really in the NFL. That's another good
thing,
The
big
too.
Hat, though? Lane, did you see this big hat? It's the biggest
insane.
Hat I've ever seen
That's
in my
pretty
life.
Pretty wild.
It's up on Twitch right now.
I'd like to see you get it and put your headphones on.
Somebody, you can't. It's bigger than the Urban Sombrero, and Finn in the Twitch chat said the hat is badass.
So Wes Welker, wow, the Wes Welker
yes.
helmet.
Yeah, the Great Kazoo. Or
oh, yeah, the Great Kazoo. Yeah, yeah. Who was
Look
the...
Look at this hat. Yeah, it's on Twitch
It's
right
insane,
now.
Isn't it?
I thought it was... Because, you know, people are like, hey, every 5 likes this get, I'll make the guy's head bigger or whatever. I thought it was one of those, like, gimmicks that you see.
And
on,
the next thing you know, it's like no. his head is, like, swelled outside the stadium.
He legit, like, the thing goes over his shoulders almost. It looks like an umbrella. Like, it's the biggest hat you've ever
it's
seen.
It's really co-owned by Doug Peterson. He was the template for that thing.
So my first thought was, and it's unfair because, you know, where, like, Andy Hart could finally wear a hat.
Oh, no
finally
question.
Finally get him one for Christmas.
Yep. Get a big D on there to represent him like he had on
Wednesday.
He uses
those visors, but they're hanging on by a thread. It's by on, like, thread. The very last Velcro.
Yeah, yep. But I really can't throw stones either. I also have a pretty big squash. Especially like pound for pound, I have a big head.
Got it. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
When
I'm like on the snapback, I can go with 2, and it's like kind of tight. I'm better off with 1, but then that looks outrageous.
I can't even get it snapped.
Okay.
I can't do any of those. It's so awful, and I just missed too. It's like come on. But then when you do,
you
it, you're
the
right.
Extender.
That'd be great. Wear a backwards hat with an extender on it. I mean, good Lord.
It's like a different color than the rest of the hat.
I mean,
like,
for those who have ever sat on a plane and be like, oh, ma'am, can I have, you say it real quiet, ma'am, can I have the seatbelt extender, please? That the only thing worse would be wearing the hat that shows that your head is so ginormous that you had to have a little thing in there to make the snaps connect.
You're like Odell Beckham with no seatbelt
on the
plane.
Oh, yeah, well, Odell Beckham is, that was something. His agent came to his defense.
I read the notes
app. Like, notes
app.
That really was.
Yeah, that helped.
All right, we got a lot to unpack here, including a Celtics victory. They beat Washington last night. We'll continue to get into that. I'm sure there's some of you who've got some stuff to say on the Thanksgiving Day game, how the officiating went down, some of the mistakes that the Patriots made. If you've been pretty much in a turkey coma for about 3 days and you need to uncork those thoughts, get them in at 617-779-7937. It is a Patriots Monday. We are scheduled to be joined by Hunter Henry and Matt Judon at some point. Little wonky day down there in Gillette. We're going to be Omaha on it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Great holiday, ate a bunch of turkey, and worked less than we did.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you were able to do that. John and Billy are back in the house once again. We had a little Jackson experience on Friday.
How was that?
That's something, I'll right. tell you.
Did everybody back?
Yeah.
My big takeaway, remember, from yes. Wednesday was when Billy was out and Coop was in. Was that hopefully Billy's never out again.
Oh, you know what? Coop was competitive. He
kind of so?
Well, he hung
Did
in there.
You, what?
Well, if you were here Friday, you would feel a bit differently. So, you know.
I thought Germany was in Eastern Europe. So.
Again, none of us, we suck at math. Every time we try to add numbers on this show, we screw it up. Everybody has their weaknesses.
And just when I thought the tried and true Thanksgiving plate draft was going to kind of be paint by numbers, here's Coop Coopson coming in drafting water and like all kinds of nonsense.
My oldest who
just trash related. We missed you so much.
I was just a phone call away. I might have been off, but I wasn't off the grid.
We should have recorded it Tuesday afternoon.
My oldest said to me, he's like, who's the dude that picked veggies and water? He's like, what's he going to jail? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe
the guy
so.
That texted it, he's like, every guy in jail is gonna have a better meal than
I mean,
whatever
it was
drafted.
Unbelievable. Yeah. No wonder why Coop is so he's only what 17, so yeah. He'll figure it out at some point.
Oh yeah, no,
he'll grow
to
into
grow.
Himself.
No, there's, I'm not ruling him out forever.
No,
I'm just saying,
no,
right
no.
now he's not ready.
Yeah, and no, it was.
Like if that's his college size. Imagine how tiny he was in high school.
Oh my god, yeah, subtract at least 20 pounds from that. You got to disappear on you.
Boy, I wish I could apply that. Hey, you were 290 as a high school senior. Like, oh, yeah, but look at him now.
Well,
he's a shaped 310 whenever I was in college. It was like, no, we just got done with camp.
You put on the freshman 15, 20, 25?
They didn't even need to get. They were like, you only need two hots, but get the cot and get in the weight room kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk some football. 617-779-7937. Mark and for regression, Keith. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
All of
you. Yeah, you too.
So yesterday I'm watching the Tampa Bay game, and Brady just threw a touchdown pass to the rookie tight end there, and then they mentioned that I think it was the 96th different receiver to catch a touchdown from Tom Brady.
I think
that's
it was, yeah, Mark,
outrageous.
I think it was 94, but yep, you're in the neighborhood. When they said that, it was at that fullback 41 or whatever.
I was like 94. I'm going back thinking I'm naming receivers like Patton and Troy Brown, and I'm like, yeah, I could believe it.
Oh, it's insane! It's absolutely insane. You know, 94. That's got to be a record, I would assume.
I think so.
Who's topping that?
No, like, who knows? Maybe Drew Brees, but again, Alvin Kamara caught a lot.
Peyton Manning probably has a lot too.
Oh,
right?
I would think so.
I think especially when you move teams, like you automatically that is a big boost. I can check that for you.
I was just gonna say now it's got me thinking of guys who bounced around teams.
No, how about this? Peyton Manning, 49.
That's it.
Yeah. Because he had Harrison and Wayne gobbled up a lot of them.
Oh, you know what? That's the thing. Brady was here so long, he went through what would you say? Three complete sets of receivers?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brown, Patton. Early it
Branch,
was Brown,
Gibbons.
Patton, Branch, Gibbons. And then it was Moss, Welker.
Yep. And then it was Gronk, Edelman.
Yep.
And then
Amendola would have been on
there. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You
sprinkle in a few other guys, and you know, like the LaFells and the Gaffneys and the Stallworths. But then you jump to all the Bucks guys.
There's a guy who was that's our, so he said. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably throwing more because he's been on 100 teams. And I wonder how many. I bet you that guy's only probably thrown to about 35 different guys in terms of touchdowns.
The answer on that
this
one.
This is pretty interesting.
It is pretty interesting.
62. All right, that's
so
wild.
More than
so
Peyton
he's more
Manning,
than Peyton
but
Manning,
less than Brady.
Huh?
Yeah.
The better number, or at least the one that really blew me away, Tom Brady up 7 or more points in the final 2 minutes of regulation, entering Sunday, 218-0.
Yeah.
First of all, that number is just stupid.
It is
on
stupid.
Its own.
Now, that also leads to...
That includes postseason, too, by the way.
Yeah, that means you had good defenses and a good coach, doesn't it? Like, over that time, too? Like, I know everybody wants pick, you know, give Brady all the credit or Bill none of it or whatever, but if you are able to protect that many lead, like, it's still a team game. Like, you need the other side to hold up the bargain. How many... Remember, was it week two when we saw three absolute choke job collapses by teams?
Correct.
And that was really out of the hands of all those starting quarterbacks. Like, when you watch an onside kick get recovered, then the team march down the field and score again, the quarterback's standing on the sideline. There's only so much he can do.
Jets in Cleveland.
Run! Pass! Like, there's only so much he can do. Right,
that's what Russell Wilson's doing. Yeah,
come on, guys,
one.
Let's talk it up. Let's clap it up for these guys. But that's one where it's definitely impressive for Brady, and that's another insane number for him. But it's also those defenses didn't collapse in the final couple of minutes, you didn't lose in overtime.
And the fact that it's tilted, like, I wonder how many of those 218 were kind of blowouts in a lot of ways. Because again, it's 7 or more within the final 2 minutes. I bet you there are a bunch of those where it was never in doubt. But David Njoku made a sick catch.
Yes, he did.
Sick one-handed catch.
Yeah.
This weekend was the weekend of the one-handed catch on both the college and the pro level. It was insane.
Yeah, no, there were some really good ones. And then Jacoby Brissett's last stand.
Much. It's as if his hand was a vacuum and you heard the ball go and like just suck it right in there to where he could snag that one-handed. This is an insane catch by Alston, and his left arm is being held.
I saw that on ESPN this morning.
That's right.
Is that the UMass band just kind of warming up back there? What is that noise?
Might have been the Army band.
The Army band?
No, actually, it was towards the sideline of the UMass band because it was senior day.
They're all just like testing their instruments?
Well, half of the people that were in the stands were there for the football players, and the other half were there for the band kids who always put on the show afterwards.
Congrats.
And yes, good for them.
Job well done.
That's right. That call ended up. Who would have thought that teaching me some of the Marvel universe? Because I wanted to make a Spider-Man reference, and then I'm like, nah, I'm going to do it wrong. So I just kind of dumbed it down a little bit. But you,
he's a lot like Man Spider,
exactly. Because I didn't want to go viral to be the one to
go viral.
Well, no, but it's the whole. Oh, it's like Batman, and it's like, no, it's the wrong one. Or I would have screwed something up.
No, but
it wouldn't have been good.
No, it was a good call, though.
No, it was. Well, a big 45-7 win. That I'll tell you what, though. Army had one receiver, and the guy was 6'4", 220 pounds, and it was that guy. He's a hoss.
Is he going to play pro, you think? Or is he like,
I'm not sure. I don't know, but he's got pro size.
All right.
His left arm completely being held. He just went up and pointed the ball.
Receiver at some of those schools, maybe not the most useful position.
Oh, God, yeah, on a triple option offense? Yeah, well, you know who played in one of those?
Demaryius Thomas.
Calvin Johnson as well.
Both down to Georgia Tech.
There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess everybody is over the Minnesota game, and now it's really kind of full steam ahead to Thursday in taking on the Bills. And I know that on the Greg Hill Show today, they got a chance to talk to Bill Belichick. And big pauses today for Bill.
Big pauses, but I'd say better mood than Thursday night. I mean, that's the aftermath of the game that he probably felt like they should have won, whether it was a couple of ref calls or just not being able to get the defensive stops that they were accustomed to. Frustrating loss for really a lot of reasons.
No doubt. Yeah. And we're still going to go into Thursday's game wondering what is a catch and what isn't a catch.
Don't know.
And the Greg Hill crew talked to Bill Belichick about that today.
No, I mean, there's, you know, these are plays that, you know, we look at plays in the off season. Officials might bring in 20 plays and say, okay, these 10 are catches, these 10 aren't. And I think we all kind of sit in the room, and I don't think there's a consensus on, oh, yeah, I see that. Or, you know, they're close plays, and it's hard to reach a consensus on a lot of plays. What the rule is and what you actually see on the video that they show, sometimes it's not – clear to everybody what exactly it is we're seeing. Did this happen? Did, you know, was his foot down? Did he have possession? Did he not? You know, it's, there's a lot of close plays. So we're looking ahead. We're moving on. There's nothing we can do about that. Those calls are out of our control. So whatever they are, we just have to deal with them and move on.
Doesn't that sound like Bill in the back of the competition committee room where he's just kind of looking down at his phone and listening to the conversation, and then he just raises his hand and says, no one knows what the F word. Like, that's really what Bill wants to say is that when you look at half of these, nobody knows what the F they're looking at.
No.
And they've complicated it so much, and he did it as diplomatically as he could, but behind closed doors where the competition committee's up there, and then Bill stands up, and, like, the whole room, it's like when the principal walked in, you're like, whoom, and everybody turns around and looks, and then Bill says something like that.
But it shows you, like, when they are sitting down trying to address it with the rules committee, they still can't even show examples of what they are saying it's an example of.
Correct.
They're like, all right, here's one where, like, the ball moves, and the guys are looking, they're like, well, the ball doesn't move in that one. Then two guys down are like, well, yeah, it did. And so, like, nobody can even agree on it.
We talked about the Kelce one.
Yeah.
Where you put Hunter Henry up against the Kelce catch, and they called the Kelce one a catch where he scored a touchdown, and the ball popped out.
And, like, part of what you need to do, too, is take who you're a fan of out of it. Right?
Correct.
Like, so it's very easy for to say the Hunter Henry catch was a catch because we all wanted it to be a catch. But if they really did it right, what they would do is they would remove the logos from all the teams. You're like, here's just the play. You don't even know who it is, but here's what happened.
That'd
watch the
awesome.
Ball, watch the feet.
It's in black and white.
Catch or no. And then you're like, was it against my team or was it for my team? But I don't know. Going back to the Henry catch, his hand was underneath it. Thought he controlled it the whole time. It was a catch. And then the first thing people do on Thursday night is they dig up the Travis Kelce play from a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We were like, they called that a touchdown? Like, that looked sloppier. That looked like he had less control over it, but that was a touchdown. And so the fact that week to week, let alone year to year, we're still talking about what's a catch, what isn't a catch. There's so many different examples, right? There's, like, there was that Calvin Johnson one in the end zone. There was that Dez Bryant one on the sideline / end zone. Like, there's so many ones that jump to mind, and yet you still won't get people to agree on it. They'll be like, well, no, that clearly was incomplete. It's like, well, clearly wasn't clearly anything.
Ask people what a football move is.
And that's why part of my problem, too, is, like, when you go to the replay, the whole idea of the replay is you need to have irrefutable proof to overturn it.
Yep.
So even if you're like, ah, I could kind of see it both ways, just that response right there means call on the field stands. And that's why I don't know how that one ended up getting overturned.
And yet, Terry McCauley in the booth, like, right away, nope, this is incomplete. Like, first review, he was like, nope, this is incomplete.
And so
he ended up being right, but that doesn't mean it's correct.
But everybody else watching it thought it was a catch.
Agreed.
It's crazy, you know, when you think about how much, you know, how many cameras are there and how much money is invested in this thing. And the whole goal is to get all these plays right, all these calls right. But that is one that continues to sort of elude everybody. Because Bill Belichick, you would feel like, knows the rules better than anybody.
Yep.
Right? Like, just one of the, like, you're this experience of a head coach, and he cares that much about it. And yet, even listening to his answer there, he's just like, we go over it. We can't even really figure out what's what. Like, I think he's just kind of, you throw your hands up in the air.
It feels like, and someone in the Twitch chat just made a really good point. In fact, it was Stealth Vid. Catches are much like pass interferences, very subjective, depends on the official. And that's what it feels like, sadly. Whereas a catch, I would dare say that, as you have once uttered, the catch is like the porno. Mm-hmm. You know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it.
Right? Like, I saw the Travis Kelce one. That was not a catch.
Didn't feel like it.
I saw the Hunter Henry one, and that was a catch. There was nothing here to me should be a determining factor. If the ball does end up touching the ground a little bit, is there any loss of possession, movement of the ball, or does the receiver gain extra control because it touched the ground a little bit? The answer with Hunter Henry would be unequivocally no.
His hand was underneath it.
But yet it is still, we're Zapruder-ing the hell out of this thing.
Nah, it's frustrating. It's just because you feel like it could come up next week. It could come up the week after that. It could come up in the Super Bowl. Like, you just don't know.
Oh, wait till Thursday night. I'm sure there'll be another one.
And that's the one that is the real killer. Like, I think everybody can wrap their head around, like, were they inbounds? Were they in the end zone? Like, all that stuff.
Right.
But it's the whole time when they hit the ground and there's any kind of movement, and like, was there possession, loss of possession, all of that, and then you just end up driving yourself nuts. And, oh, by the way, it's like a 5-minute delay in the game as well, which is for the Birds.
And it's only supposed to be 60 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was longer than 60
Way
seconds.
Way blew by that, absolutely. And we know that the Patriots are playing the Bills on Thursday, and this is not the Bills of the start of the year. This is a bit of a different looking group.
Like they've wounded animal.
They are. Injuries on defense. Josh Allen has been struggling with picks in the red area. And then he, in overtime, with apparently a cranky arm, or excuse me, late fourth quarter in Detroit, rips a 40-yard laser beam over the middle. It's confounding to figure out exactly what is up with Josh Allen. But Mac Jones laying it on a little thick yesterday when talking about the Bills' defense.
Last year was last year, but at the same time, we know what happened, and we got to come in here and work and kind of work through it all and go out there and compete, and that's what it's all about, and then see where we're at. So good defense, like I always say, we're going against their defense, and they provide that challenge better than anybody we've played so far. So hats off to them, and they've done a great job, so we got to be ready to go. We got a full week here, and I'm going to prepare the same way I prepared and continue to do those things. And like I said, we know we're going against the best defense in the league. So we got to be ready for that. And it really starts with us and just playing the best football we can. And it's a great team that we're going against. So it's all about ourselves, but then obviously understanding and respecting, you know, the group of players that we're about to go against.
Wow. Best defense in the league.
A little much, but okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it is. It might not even be the best defense in the division. Like the Jets defense.
The Jets defense is
pretty
good.
The Jets defense is no joke.
And you're playing them with no Von Miller. That's another thing, too. Like, Von Miller was supposed to be the closer on the Bills defense.
And early in the season, Micah Hyde went down for the year. Yep. He's an all-pro safety. So you're losing at a couple of different levels. They have impact guys not playing.
Tre'Davious White just got back, but he's still working his way back. It feels like it, yeah.
No, they're good. Like, they're a good defense. If you look at just points allowed, they're fifth in the league. So they're nothing to see. It's a challenge. They're a much better defense than Minnesota.
Right.
So there is that part of it. But, I mean, I guess there's no harm in saying they're the best defense in the league. Now, when you face somebody else that's pretty good, I guess you can't use that line again.
Well, there's nobody else with a great defense, I guess, that's left. They already dealt with the Jets. So, yeah, maybe Mac feels like he could kind of get away with it. But, I think when healthy, they're probably one of the top three defenses in the league because they have a little bit of everything at every level.
Would you rather have the Bills defense or the Patriots defense?
Good question.
Because the Patriots, to me, still have question marks on defense because it's almost comical when you look at the quarterbacks they've beaten and the quarterbacks they've lost to.
Yeah.
The quarterbacks they've beaten are bumps. They're all backups or guys who got benched or should get benched. And then all the guys that they have lost to are average at worst to good to very good.
Yeah, I think for the Bills defense, it's combining Miller up front with Ed Oliver. They do have a linebacker in Matt Milano, but he's also, that's a guy who's in and out of the lineup. I mean, they're honestly, the Bills defense is kind of driven by their safeties, which I think is why they went out and got Von Miller. Your thoughts? 617-779-7937. As we mentioned, we already went through the state of the AFC. Nothing really broke the Patriots' way yesterday. We'll continue talking football and mix in a little Celtics, who cruised to a win yesterday. That's next.
WEEI, New England Sports Original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Gresh and Keith
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what live was? Comprehend to the track force. Why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to
fight. Well, the Celtics, even though they didn't have Jason Tatum last night, still brought the funk to the Washington Wizards. Remember, Keith, there was a time when every time the Celtics would play the Wizards, we would get a bunch of calls here on the Gresh and Keith program saying, oh, I got to go get Bradley Beal.
A lot of Bradley Beal talks. That has
gone.
Oh, completely gone.
Gone.
And proven to be the right move, as it turns out. And there was a time, and listen, I was a part of that as well,
mm-hmm.
when they were so bad last year until, I don't know, about, more like Christmas, New Year's, right? They were that. Think about what the Celtics looked like a year ago right now.
Yep. Oh, my God.
The mess.
They were.
They were hard to watch on top of it.
Yep.
Not only were they losing a bunch of games, but they were just like, ugh.
They weren't sharing the ball.
No.
There was Time Lord hurt? I'm trying to remember.
Probably. But just the idea of trading Jaylen Brown. Because nobody really said trading Jason Tatum, but trading Jaylen Brown last year at this time really wasn't that crazy. Just the way the team was going. And the reason why his name always got brought up is because we do recognize that he's a good player.
Yep.
So you're going to get some, you have to give up something good to get something good in return. But they obviously figured it out. They turned things around after the new year and then obviously the run that they had, and that has carried over very much into this year. But yeah, the Bradley Beal calls because, you know, he and Tatum went to the same high school at different times.
I didn't know that.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Nope. Bradley Beal feels like he's going to be a really, really good player to never play a game that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Not his fault. It's just sort of he just never really had. They had the John Wall experience, then the Russell Westbrook experience, and then it's just Bradley Beal.
They've tried. But, they've tried to put people around the guy,
yeah.
But they've also put some dum-dums around
they've
him.
They've also
like Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, right.
Who Russell Westbrook somehow got hard weighed in the forehead, blood pouring down like he just came out of Hell in the Cell here over the weekend.
He's just in an AEW match on a random Wednesday.
Right, get hit with a chair. Jaylen Brown was very bullish on the Celtics after the game, talking about the ceiling for this team.
I think we're in a good spot. And I think that we still haven't played our best ball yet. You know, defensively, you know, I think we could pick it up. You know, I think we've been a little bit, you know, we let our offense kind of dictate things. And we can be better in spots. And that starts with, you know, our veteran guys. It starts with me and it starts with us. And as the year goes on, that's something we're going to emphasize for sure. But I like the spot that we're in. We're playing great basketball. You know, we empowering our guys, you know, to come in and be aggressive. They feel comfortable in their roles. We shooting the out of the ball. And we playing the game the right way. So not too much to ask. When you look like that, so look like Celtic basketball to me.
I admit I saw the meme on Twitter of Trump when he was campaigning with the, we're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning. And it's like, then we're going to win some more. That's what it feels like here with the Celtics and the Bruins right now.
Oh, they're
like
nasty.
Every time they're on the ice or on the court, it's just a win. Chalk it up.
Well, and think about the injuries that they've even gone through, like
no time
to this point, and no Tatum. Yes, like they have no Jason Tatum resting with the ankle. Doesn't matter. They go out and win. McAvoy, Marchand missed all those games. Didn't matter. They were still winning.
Okay, now I do want to ask you about the Celtics defense.
Yeah,
are we fooling ourselves in terms of what they've become defensively, which is not very good? Is that all Time Lord related, or are we sitting here under a pile of fool's gold and we don't realize it yet?
So that's one thing where I agree with Brown when he says we actually haven't played our best game yet.
Because the defense hasn't come along.
Because their offense is so insane. Like, their offense is even better than we thought. Even if you went into the season thinking, oh, it's going to be a good offensive team, they've kind of they've taken that to another level.
Agreed.
So their offense is so good that it's made up for some of their bad defense. I don't even know if it's bad defense, but not what we were accustomed to from last year.
It's not a Celtics-level defense from last year.
It's not a, holy crap, that's the best defense in the league.
Correct.
Which is what you had last year. And I think Time Lord probably is their best defensive player. And when you have the, and I know Smart was D player of the year, but still, it probably is Time Lord.
Well, the rim protector becomes more important nowadays than the guy who can guard on ball, because they got a couple guys who can do that.
And hence, you know, all the defensive player of the years normally are the Dikembe Mutombos, the Ben Wallaces, the Rudy Goberts, just the big fellas guys, in the middle that can really kind of erase a lot of problems and make everybody better. So, but I don't think they can leave it as, oh, when he comes back, we could turn around, because who knows how many games he's going to play. And I know they're starting to talk about, oh, maybe he's actually going to be ready closer to Christmas. It's like, I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it with him. Maybe he comes back at Christmas. Maybe he comes back at the New Year. Maybe he comes back in February. I don't know.
At this point, don't rush him.
No, right. They're 16-4. You don't need to rush the guy. Let's make sure he's good to go. But, yeah, that's something that you want to see as the season goes on, if they can kind of ramp that up, because then, I mean, they're already a really tough team to play. Can you imagine that once they turn it up on that end of the floor?
The Celtics are on, unless my math is wrong, and I admitted that we're not great at math
possible.
On this show.
It's possible.
So 16-4, 20 games in. So they're on a 65-win pace.
Is that right?
Because that's so that's a quarter pole. So
line
16 times 4.
Which I believe
would be 64. And then that would be 80 games that leave you two left. I figure they split, they win 65.
That could be. The first year of Garnett and Ray Allen to play with Paul Pierce, they won 66.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if internally that's something that they talk about.
If they're looking at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they won 66-16 that year.
Yeah.
Look, it might take them a minute to gel. Yeah, they'll be fine. I think they're going to be just fine, those guys.
It took them 30 games. No, actually, it took a trip to Italy.
Yeah, Ubuntu.
That's right, Ubuntu.
They gelled pretty quick.
Wonder if they bring that back at some point, or is that too Doc-ish?
Yeah, that was...
Like, Missoula wouldn't want to go there.
Well, you also think it was, like, Doc and Thibodeau, and then you had Danny Ainge. So it's, like, all guys that are gone.
When I think Ubuntu, I think Danny Ainge. Boy, he fits right into all that, doesn't he?
Jazz, he's going to be pissed as Jazz. Are actually
they're too good. Yeah. He's got to trade guys away to make them worse. Yeah. They're just playing their tail off. 617-779-7937. We are on alert for either Matt Judon or Hunter Henry, but we have a little bit of Red Sox news, or maybe just some Xander Bogaerts news. More teams have emerged, and one out of nowhere that I didn't see coming. Keith and I will get into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.